to the Bethel family. You have been an integral part of Teen Challenge Ministry here in Sault Ste. Marie since the beginning. And you've made a significant contribution. So heartfelt thanks to you. In just a few minutes, our men are going to share with you their stories in testimony and in song. Today I have three of our students. I have Jonathan, I have Sean, and I have Dak. And you're going to be amazed at what the Lord has done in their lives. But before we start the official presentation, I just want to say that it was October of 2013 that I became the director of Teen Challenge North. And for the first little while, you know, I wasn't able to move up here right away. I traveled back and forth between my home in Ingersoll, Ontario, just outside of London, to the Sioux. You know, it's about an 8-hour commute, so obviously I wasn't doing it every day, but I was doing it about every other week. Today is actually the first anniversary that my wife and I officially became Siouxites. Now, you're probably thinking, that guy is crazy to move to Sault Ste. Marie on February 1st. Well, that's just the beginning of my craziness, because just prior to us moving here, our daughter was married on December 28th, 3 days after Christmas. But it even gets crazier, because she married a young man from England, and he brought 10 of his family members to our house for the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th. We had a short break on the 27th. And then we had the wedding. And then they went to Niagara Falls for New Year's. And we finally could start packing and move to and prepare for our move to Sault Ste. Marie. But we are so glad that we are here. And we have been so warmly welcomed by you. And we thank you for that. What a friendly, friendly city Sault Ste. Marie is. You've impressed us, and we are so glad to be part of you. Just before I begin the presentation, I have a short video that maybe you have seen before. If you haven't, it really is a very good encapsulation of what the Teen Challenge Ministry is all about. So, Darren, if you could run that video. You don't know how happy it makes me feel when I hear laughter and I hear the ah and the oohs. And there's actually some churches we've been to where all I could hear is crickets when we showed that. I hope you noticed there was a little disclaimer there at the beginning. It said that no Teen Challenge students or mice were harmed in the making of that video. And that's 100% true. You know, No one was hurt or killed or anything. And but, there, you know, there's a lot of people here today, and there may be some of you that are quite sensitive. Maybe you're a bit of an animal rights person. And if you were offended by that, I would just invite you to speak with Bruce Kane after the service. Okay. You know what? I think pretty well most of you know who Teen Challenge is, know what we're all about. If you know us, just raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, now, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I know that this congregation has been supporters of ours for a long time. I'm wondering if we have any sponsors here. Any sponsors? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a few. Could you just stand up for a second? Just for a second. That's beautiful. It's beautiful, brother. You're good. I want to say thank you to you. Okay, you folks over here. You are so important to our ministry. I can't begin to explain it, and I'll try. The guys are going to explain a little bit how important you are. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Massively important. Now, if you're one of the three or four people who don't know about Teen Challenge, don't know who we are, briefly, we are a 12-month residential drug and alcohol treatment facility for men here in Sault Ste. Marie, with a difference. The difference is Jesus Christ. He is the only reason why we have any kind of success at all. He is at the head of our organization, he's at the middle of our organization, and he is at the bottom of our organization. It's all about Jesus at Teen Challenge. Always has been, always will be. Started in 1958 in New York City by David Wilkerson, and today there are over 1,100 Teen Challenge centers in 92 countries around the world, 15 centers in Canada, and the organization that Teen Challenge North is part of, there are 6 centers. We have a center in Alberta, Saskatchewan, obviously here in Sault Ste. Marie. Our home office is in London. We have a women's center in Toronto, and we have a men's center in New Brunswick. And very soon, we'll have another women's center in St. John's, Newfoundland. God has done amazing work through the ministry of Teen Challenge. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the history and the organization because a lot of you know it. There's a book on our table in the foyer called The Cross and the Switchblade, and it tells the whole story of how Teen Challenge began. And if you fill in a little information slip, I think there was one was included in the brochure that was given to you this morning. If you didn't get one, there's one on the table. If you fill that in, we'd be pleased to give you a copy of the book. Okay? And if we run out, we'll get some more. We'll send them down with Bruce. All right? I want to take just a couple of minutes before the guys come and just give you a bit of an update on what we've been up to for the past 12 months at Teen Challenge. So as I mentioned, I started on October 21st of 2013, and on October 22nd, I took that picture of our center. And you can see that there's snow on the roof and on the ground. That was my first inkling that something was going to be a little bit different about living in Sault Ste. Marie from living in London. Because it didn't seem like very long, and the center looked like this. Now, it stayed like that for a really long time last year, and it seems just in the back of my mind, it's almost like a dreamlike state where I remember the center looking like that. It didn't last very long because it looks like this again. We do live in a beautiful part of Canada. Spectacular. And, you know, I joke a little bit, but wow, do we ever get to see God's glory in creation here. And the guys are experiencing that, you know, working outside a little bit of cold, a little bit of snow, but it's all good. It's all good. A few things have happened at Teen Challenge this year. Just want to keep you updated. We made some upgrades to our roof this year. And we were not really expecting to have to do that. It was, I think July, that the snow melted off the roof. And I discovered that, yeah, it was in really bad need of repair. So we needed a new roof. We had that done. And then Algoma Public Health came and told us that our water filtration system just wasn't up to snuff, so we needed to replace that. And also, we needed to upgrade our security system. So these were three projects that were outside of our operating budget, And those of you who are elders and, you know, part of the board and the decision-making process around here, you know that can cause you a little bit of panic. So we were looking at about $13,000 outside of our budget. But thankfully, you know, with help of wonderful people in the community, we were able to get the majority of that money raised to get those things done. So, amen, God is good. We conduct a couple of fundraising events throughout the course of the year that really contribute to our operating fund. One is our golf tournament. This year we held it at Crimson Ridge, just a couple of kilometers from the center. In the past, it's been out on St. Joe Island. And we had a wonderful time. We had about 25 golfers join us. If you even think remotely that it could be possible that you would like to spend a day on the golf course with us, I'd encourage you to give it a try. We're not looking for good golfers. We're looking for people who can help us raise some dollars. And I know a lot of you sponsor some of our golfers already, but you know what? It's a really fun day. And I would encourage you, you know, if you have a little bit of desire to do that, come on out and join us. It's just a wonderful time. We had a great time. The rain held off until I was on the 17th hole, and then it poured. And I was totally soaked for the rest of the day. But anyways, again, we had a lot of fun. So there's another picture from our golf tournament. We also have a motorcycle ride. And this year we held the motorcycle ride on the 21st of September. It was a spectacular day. We had about 20 riders, and they rode up to Searchmont, and then they went across over to Gooley, and then up to Pancake Bay, and then back. And it was just the best possible day for a ride. The colors were spectacular. They were red at peak, and the blue was the bluest I've ever seen. It was just a wonderful day. Between the motorcycle ride and the golf tournament, we raised just under $50,000 to help our ministry. Thank you so much for all your help. If you were part of that in any way, if you were sponsoring. Again, encourage you, if you'd like to ride a motorcycle, get in touch with us, come on out, have a wonderful time, and network with some other brothers and sisters in Christ. Most of you realize that we have a little bit of a firewood project that helps us to provide a work detail as well as raise a little bit of revenue for our center as well. We changed things up a little bit this past year. We found that it was a little too cost prohibitive for us to continue the delivery of the firewood. So we had to end that. But we're still cutting and splitting firewood, and it's available for people to come and pick up. Okay? Last year, our guys were able to cut and split 350 cords of wood. And that provided, again, about $25,000 towards our center. And again, if you buy wood from us, thank you so much. You're helping God's work at the center. Last year at the center, our kitchen staff prepared over 7,000 meals. Now, we get some great donations at Teen Challenge. We get great donations of meat and of canned goods. But where we lack sometimes is in fresh vegetables, fresh fruit and vegetables. And if you feel it on your heart one day to maybe pick up some bananas or some oranges or some broccoli or cauliflower, wow, we would just love to see you come to the door with some fresh veggies. We rely on donations. Sometimes it's a little bit thin. Sometimes we get a lot of creamed corn. But you know what? We're still thankful because God is good. We've had a few staff changes at Teen Challenge over the past year and a bit. One of the more significant changes that we've had is the addition of Murray Stevenson. He's our new life coach. And it's very significant because maybe you're aware, maybe you're not. The Ontario government is about to enact legislation that will see the establishment of the brand new Ontario College of Psychotherapists. So that what that means is anyone who's providing a counseling service in the province of Ontario must have accreditation with this organization. So Teen Challenge has been proactive. We started this process exactly 1 year ago. And our life coach, Murray, has been taking courses and supervised activities so that he can attain this accreditation. And even pastors, if their pastors are performing counseling services within the province of Ontario, they will need this accreditation. So we've been working right across the country with all of our life coaches, and we're getting there. He's got 2 more years in the process to complete this. But this is going to bring a peace to teen challenge that we've never had in the past. We've always had great pastoral counseling, but now we're going to bring a more of a scientific approach. We're never, ever going to lose the Jesus factor. I guarantee you that. We're never, ever going to lose that pastoral care, but it's going to be just added onto this other piece, the scientific piece, and the psychotherapy accreditation. We've also had a couple of our staff members have retired over the past year, and they've gone on, and they still help us out from time to time in as volunteers. And we've hired new duty staff as well. This picture showed one of our duty staff on the far right there, Louis Kim. He was with us until just the end of the summer, and then he moved away. We have been able to minister to 24 different men at Teen Challenge in the past 12 months. Now, some of those guys have gone on to Bible college. Some have returned to family and resumed their lives. And some of them are still struggling. And I would ask you to continue to pray for all of our Teen Challenge students, past, present, and future. You know, we talk about the success stories, but there are those who come to our program and they just aren't ready. And they don't complete. But the Lord is still at work in their life, because I guarantee you that whether they're in our program for 15 minutes or 15 months, they will have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will have had the love of Christ shared with them and poured into their lives. And I can tell you, this past week, we had a young man who was all set to come into our program. He arrived here late on Monday night. And as soon as he got here, we put him to bed. The next morning, it became obvious that he was coming down off some significant drug use. So myself and Marie took him to the detox center so he could detox for a couple of days in a safe environment. And all that time that we were with him, we were sharing the love of Jesus with him. He actually sat through our chapel service. One of the students shared a word from the Lord that was powerful in this man's life. I mean, he was broken. Marie and I continued to minister to him, took him to detox. He stayed there for about 3 hours and then left. He called us from Station Mall. We went down, we picked him up, we got him a cup of coffee and a sandwich, and took him to the bus. Again, prayed with him that the Lord would work his life. He just isn't ready. But this happens at Teen Challenge from time to time. But we have a great God, and his timetable is not our timetable. And we are believing that the Lord has begun a work in that young man, and he will see it to completion in his timing. I also received a call just after New Year's from a young man who was with us for about 4 months. And when he left us, he kind of left, you know, kind of agitated and upset. And I had a voicemail, and I looked at my voicemail. I saw it was his number, and I was hesitant to call him because I thought, okay, he's in a mess, and he's going to want us to, you know, rescue him. But the Holy Spirit said, you know, give him a call. So I called him, and he called me to say that he was doing well, that he struggled for a time, but he prostrated himself before the Lord and cried out to God, and God heard his cry, and God spoke to him in a real and meaningful way. And now he's attending church. He's reconnecting with his family. He is starting to understand that God is a God of love and grace and mercy, and not a God of punishment and retribution and anger. It just lifted me. It just lifted me. God does his work in his people. Currently at Teen Challenge, right now we have 5 young men in our center. As of Friday, we had 6, but on Friday we celebrated graduation. And so we were pleased with that, and our young man has gone home now for a week, and then he's going to start a phase 4 or an internship program at the Teen Challenge Center in London. So we're praying for him that the Lord can continue to use him and to build him into the man he wants him to be. Here's again our guys that at Christmas time, many of you contributed to Christmas gifts for the young men, and I thank you for that as well. Here's a picture of them opening their gifts on Christmas morning, and such a blessing. You know, they don't get to go home at Christmas. We keep them at the center, and we just try to do the best we can and to provide the most wonderful Christmas that we possibly can, and you are a great part of that as well. Why do we do what we do? Quite literally, we do what we do because there are men, young men, dying on the streets of Sault Ste. Marie as we speak, right outside the doors of this church. 2 weeks ago, I was in the state in the Cambrian Mall getting my hair cut, and the young lady that was cutting my hair, you know, was kind of going through all the small talk that they do usually, and what I found was, you know, she was telling me about her weekend that was coming up, that she was going to be partying, and that she was probably not going to be too good for anything the next day. And then she asked me what I did for a living. So I told her, and the conversation kind of turned a little bit. She told me that she had moved here 2 years ago from North Bay. She said how needed a drug and alcohol facility is needed here in Sault Ste. Marie. And I said, you know what? It's needed everywhere because this is a big problem. She went on to tell me that about 90% of her friends here in Sault Ste. Marie use cocaine on a regular basis. And that doesn't completely surprise me because my wife is in ICU at the Sioux Area Hospital, and on one long weekend this past summer, there was 12 ODs in the ER. We have a big problem. But this isn't just Sault Ste. Marie's problem. And Teen Challenge is not just a ministry to Sault Ste. Marie, but it's a ministry of Sault Ste. Marie. This is your ministry as much as anyone else's. Because our students come from right across Canada, the Yukon, Atlantic provinces, Southern Ontario, even the Caribbean. It's a big ministry, and it's your ministry. And that's why I'm so glad that we're partnering with churches like Bethel. I have to go really quickly because our time's slipping away here. Just want to share some statistics with you real quickly. Every year, 47,000 deaths are attributed to drug or alcohol abuse in Canada. 23% of Ontario students were offered, sold, or given drugs at school last year. That equals 219,000 students. 4.4% of students in grades 7 to 12 had used cocaine in the past year. That equals 43,000 students. And 2% of that same group, grades 7 to 12, had used crack cocaine. That equals 19,300 students. It's a massive problem. But we're here today to tell you that there's hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. Just before the guys come, I want to share what Jesus has to say. And I, you know, when I read this, I hear Jesus describing a drug addict. This is from Matthew chapter 11. Pardon me, Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, verses 3 to 6. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That sounds like Jesus describing a drug addict to me, or an alcoholic. His heart is tender, and he's willing to bring salvation. I'm going to invite John now to come and share his story.
Good morning. First off, I love cream corn, just so everybody knows. My name's John, and I'm from Napanee, Ontario. I'm 28 years old, and I know that I don't look it. I do have the ID to prove it, though. Other than living with diabetes for the past 18 years of my life, it's been far from unfortunate, but still difficult for me in my own ways, as I'm sure it can be for many of you. I'd say my struggle started for me nearing the end of my high school. I was feeling pressured by my parents, among others, to pick a career and become a useful member of society, or else I wouldn't fit in or be successful. I saw friends, peers, and even my own brother discovering what they wanted to do or be in life, and I still had no idea. So I began to hang out with non-Christian friends, some of them worse influences than others, and I began to get into things that would help me ignore those seemingly all too big of questions. What is my purpose in life? Why am I here? Do I have a vital role to play? And is my life of any useful consequence to anyone else? If only I had read and heeded Proverbs 1:10, "My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them." I began drinking and smoking, and it wasn't until I was around 19 that I started using marijuana and occasionally hallucinogenic mushrooms as well. Marijuana and cigarettes became the most trouble for me. I was also increasingly lying to my friends, myself, authorities, and my family to help keep from being held accountable for my poor actions. Along with all this also came sexual promiscuity. I would commit this sin with girlfriends, my ex-fiance, and even women I wasn't even seeing. I was hurting my friends, my family, and God, and something needed to change. Unfortunately, it didn't. I began getting high on a daily basis, multiple times per day, lying to my friends and my family about what I was doing. I would get to know women in my area through friends or online dating sites. We would message each other inappropriately, sometimes send crude pictures, and in most instances even get together, until I did something that embarrassed me more than ever. Things went way too far when I was so blinded by my addictions and my sin that I began messaging friends of my parents, and in one humiliating instance, even one of my uncle's ex-wives. When my parents found out about this, I felt lower than low. My actions and my sin had brought me to a place where I didn't belong, and I never dreamed that I would go. I tried to implement a change, but it didn't get me far. There were a couple times I told my parents that I was trying to quit, but I would just go back to my old friends, my old addictions, and my sin. I tried to justify my belief in God and my use of drugs by saying there's no biblical reference to not smoking marijuana. But I was just thinking and talking my way further from God. Life had gotten to a point where I had even started skipping work and in a couple cases even quitting just so that I could go get high with my friends. Fortunately, that's not where my story ends. Romans 8:28 says, "And we all know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them." My parents had begun looking for a rehab program already. They offered to pay for it up front for me to get the help that I needed. In their search, they found a number of government programs that cost anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 per month. Then they came across Teen Challenge North, and their price was unbeatable. But what they offered was far beyond any sum of money that could even be imagined. They offered Christ. I'd grown up in a church most of my life, so it would have seemed like the logical choice to most people. But as we all know, Satan doesn't sleep. When you make a decision to better your life with the help of God, Satan will use anything and any scheme to try and keep you from him. And he was working at it, telling me that I wouldn't be able to obey authority, that I wouldn't be able to go without my secular music that I like. And in one instance, he even used a woman that I was seeing at the time. She told me that I could live with her, wouldn't have to pay any bills, wouldn't have to work, just watch her daughter while she was at work once in a while. Seemed like a good deal. Thankfully, I saw this as a temptation, and after a talk with my parents and my pastor, I finally made the decision to come to Teen Challenge North. And let me tell you, since coming to the center, I've made new brothers in Christ. And in my first month, I even recommitted my life to God. I've been at the center for 5 months now. I'm in my 6th month. Things didn't get easier, but with God, I'm more confident in what I have to face in the future. His grace, I will succeed. I have apologized to those I've hurt or offended and hope that they have truly forgiven me. I'm overjoyed at the love and the support of my family and friends and my home church. Proverbs 1:8-9 says, "My child, when your father corrects you, listen when your father corrects you, sorry. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. And I've been neglecting for too long. My parents have never stopped helping and guiding me, and ultimately it's brought me to a place where I can learn more about the one living God, learn more about my purpose in life, and most importantly, learn to share Jesus' message through my testimony and my actions." And that message is, there is always grace through Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 29:11 sums up that once too big a question by saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." Thank you and God bless.
Good morning. Jesus is many things to us. He's our Savior. He's our friend. He's our Redeemer. I believe God's ultimate revelation of Him is as our bridegroom. And when that time comes, when He's ready to split the clouds and come and bring us to be forever with Him, you know, we're going to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." So this song is about that. This is the story of the Son of God hanging on a cross for me. But it ends with a bride and groom and a wedding by a glass sea. See, oh death, where is your sting? 'Cause we'll be there singing, holy, holy. Of a bride in white waiting on a wedding day, anticipation welling up inside while the groom is crowned a king. Oh death, where is your sting? 'Cause we'll be there singing, holy, holy.
before God and say, holy, 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 holy is the Lord Almighty.
Good morning. I'm going to start off with a presentation that all of us students at Teen Challenge have to work through. I believe its purpose is to show us how far we've come, to give us encouragement and hope. It's called Reality Is. What is reality? Reality is stealing your family member's bank card and emptying their bank account to go buy drugs. Reality is sneaking out of the house in the middle of the night and not coming home or even calling home for weeks, because at this point, getting high means more to you than your family. Reality is kicking in a drug dealer's door to steal their drugs and money with no thought of how their retribution could harm you or your family. Reality is luring someone into a back alley to knock them out and empty their pockets because your desire to get high has become so intense. Reality is being in prison and cooking up your depression medication to put into a homemade syringe to inject in your vein because you can't face how pathetic your existence has become. How do I know this is reality? This was me. The truth is, since I've come to Teen Challenge, my family has begun to trust me again. The truth is, since I've become a Christian, I'm experiencing the freedom that Jesus died to give me. The truth is, since I've begun reading the Bible, I now understand the need to treat everyone with love and respect. The truth is, thanks to the hope I found, instead of stealing and taking, I freely give. The truth is, the hole in my life that I tried to fill with drug use has now been filled with God's love. 2 Timothy 1:14, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'd just like to start out my testimony with a verse that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. I like to think, had he not been inspired to write these words 2,000 years ago, I would have been recently. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. My name is Dak. I'm 42 years old. I was raised in the small farming community of Jordan on the border of St. Catharines, Ontario. I had what I believe to be is a regular childhood, Sunday school, hockey, baseball, birthday parties. I shared a bedroom with my little brother. My parents loved me and showed it. But when my parents divorced when I was 15, I stopped attending church. I started smoking marijuana and drinking in grade 9, and my life in sin and darkness quickly escalated from there. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol for 25 years. I stuck needles in my arms and legs and anywhere else I could find a vein. I've had short periods of sobriety, but they've always ended in relapse. Usually my relapses end with me in the hospital or prison. During my periods of drug use, I empty my bank account and sometimes someone else's. I sell everything of value that I have, as well as some of my family's valuables. And then when I have no more easy way to get money for drugs, I shift to crime. I've robbed gas stations, corner stores, drug dealers, and innocent people. I've assaulted people with what I thought was justification and without. I've done break and enters, stolen, lied, cheated, and in a drug-fueled altercation, I took another man's life. I've had 2 drug overdoses that I should not have lived through. Since I was 15, I've spent somewhere between 16 and 17 years in prison, 11 and a half of those in a federal penitentiary. I can recall 30 different prisons I've been in. I was released from prison for the last time in February of 2013. That spring and summer, I went on numerous benders. When my last bender was over, I found myself staying at a homeless shelter because my girlfriend Sarah wouldn't let me come home. It was then I decided I needed to go for treatment. Sarah said I could come home once I'd successfully completed treatment. I told my mother what my plans were, and she said it's about time, and that I needed to go to Teen Challenge because she knows they're a faith-based program, and they have a high success rate. The first Sunday after I found myself at the homeless shelter, Sarah and I were walking to the store to get coffee because she let me come home from the halfway house or the shelter during the day. She just didn't trust me to come home at night. Halfway to the store, we were walking past a church and the sign on the front lawn said, worship service at 10:30 a.m. I checked my watch. It was exactly 10:30. Sarah said, let's go in. After the service that day, they were having a barbecue, and as far as I could tell, the entire congregation introduced themselves to us and made us feel welcome. We gave some of them our phone number, and sure enough, later that week, we got a phone call to find out if we were going to come back the next Sunday. We did. On our fourth Sunday there in the sanctuary after church with the pastor's wife, I said the sinner's prayer and gave my life to Jesus. That was September 29th, 2013. That makes me a one-year-old. When I did, I felt the Holy Spirit enter me and my burdens lift away. Psalm 107 talks about how God has snapped my chains, cut apart the iron bars, and broke down the prison gates. I know this is meant to be figurative, but for me, this is literal. 2 days after I became a Christian, I went to Teen Challenge London. It was a great place to be as a new Christian. I sang worship songs. I read the Bible. I prayed. I learned what my obligations as a Christian were, as well as the benefits. And I thought I was ready to go home, so I went home after 4 months back to my family. But not long after I was home with Sarah, I started to feel uncomfortable. And when I was at church on a Saturday night by myself, my thought process led me to the conclusion that I could no longer live with Sarah because we weren't married. I had decided to leave the woman I'd lived with for 7 years, the only woman I'd ever loved, my best friend, and I felt joy at the decision because the Holy Spirit felt joy. The uncomfortable feelings I'd been having was the Holy Spirit convicting me that I was still embracing sin. I didn't know how to tell Sarah. I knew she was not going to be happy. When I finally told her a couple days later, she was furious and kicked me out on the spot. I moved up north to live with my brother, and God rewarded my obedience immediately. 2 hours after I arrived at my brother's house, I had a full-time job. Sarah, on the other hand, was devastated. She felt like she had stuck by me through 3 years in prison, a drug overdose, my emptying both our bank accounts numerous times, my benders, and so on. And now that I was straightening out my life, I was going to leave her. I knew it didn't seem fair and that I was hurting her deeply, but I had to put my trust in the Lord. She wouldn't even take my phone calls, but when we did eventually start talking again, I could tell immediately that something was different about her. As it turned out, she was meeting with the pastor's wife weekly and with the same woman as I had said the sinner's prayer and became a Christian. It is a huge relief for me to know that she is now my sister in Christ. Ephesians 4:28 says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work. And that's exactly what I did. I spent the summer working 50-hour weeks doing concrete. I'd never had a job for more than a month or two in my life before. I had an apartment that paid the bills for the first time in my life. But at the end of the summer, I had a relapse. I know there were numerous reasons for it, but I know the number one reason was because I stopped doing my devotions. I'm not ashamed of my past, because I know I am a new man in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. The only purposes my past hold for me now are to remind me of how miserable life was before Jesus and to bring glory to God by showing how huge and amazing his grace is. There are so many people stuck in the never-ending cycle of addictions and crime. Insanity, death, and prison are all a drug addict has to look forward to, but not me. Against all odds, I escaped that life, thanks to Jesus taking my death on the cross. Since I've begun reading God's word, I've found numerous verses that speak directly to my soul. Currently, that verse is Isaiah 44:22. I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. Oh, return to me. I have paid the price to set you free. I must confess that my mother is the reason I'm alive to give my testimony today. For my 25 prodigal years, she prayed for me every day. Please don't give up on your loved ones who have strayed or have never known Jesus' love. My mother's prayers kept me alive for 25 years until the scales were removed from my eyes. Intercession is real and it works. I'm living proof. I'd just like to finish with a quote from a story that a staff at Teen Challenge read to us. The darkness that sucks at the prodigal kid doesn't have anything on the light of his mother's prayers. Thank you for hearing my story.
Wow. God is good. And all the time? Amen. You know, we really love to come and share what's happening at Teen Challenge, share the stories of God's transforming power. And, you know, if you're sitting in this congregation today and you can identify with the stories that the guys have shared, maybe for you this afternoon is going to the liquor cabinet or a stash of drugs or whatever. I don't know. There's a lot of people here. Maybe today is your day of salvation. Maybe today is the day that you find hope in Jesus Christ. I want to read something else from Matthew. This is Jesus speaking about himself. And this is where we draw our hope from. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants to make a trade today. If you're worn down, if you're beaten down by this world and by substance abuse, he wants to trade. He'll take that off you today. And he will give you his yoke. And he says it's easy. And his burden is light. He's willing to make that trade. If that's you today, I encourage you to speak with Bruce or any of the other elders, or any other people at this church. Speak with us at the table afterwards. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Folks, it's been awesome to be with you here today. I can't impress on you, again, our thanks. We also need to express again that we cannot perform this ministry. It's our ministry, as I said. It's the ministry of Sault Ste. Marie, of the church here. If you can, if you're feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit to get involved, there's opportunities to volunteer. I'd love to talk to you about that. We need help with supervision during our work detail or during recreation time or during classroom time. If you can volunteer an hour or two, I would love to talk to you about it. I had some sponsors stand up at the beginning of the service. Again, thank you to those sponsors. Folks, I've got two students who are now eligible for sponsorship, and they need some sponsors. If the Lord has blessed you, and you're feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit today to get more involved in the ministry of Teen Challenge, I encourage you to have a look at that brochure and speak to me at the table. It's not just an ask for finances. It's an invitation for you to participate in ministry because we ask you and invite you to write notes and cards and letters to the guys as they're going through the program. And believe me, they are so important. When the guys receive a birthday card or a Christmas card or a note or a scripture or a prayer, sometimes it arrives on the day that they are at their lowest and they're ready to pack their bags and walk out the door. But the Holy Spirit uses his people to love others. If you can do that, if you're feeling that, I'd love to speak with you about it. We talked about this problem, and we talked about realities and truths. The reality is substance abuse isn't the problem. The truth is it's sin. And the only one who can take away sin is Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for your attention. I'm sorry that we've gone a little bit late, but I really sense that the Holy Spirit guided and directed this service today. Bless you so much, Bruce.
Thank you, Teen Challenge. That was inspiring and challenging. Reminded me of what Jesus said, "If the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed."
Amen.
And he does set us free. Thank you for being here today. I'd like to just pray as we close, and God bless you. We also have the basket out on the table for you to contribute a free will offering if you so desire to do that, so you can see the boys out there after. Let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you today, it is our joy to be able to call you our Father. Thank you for the message that we heard through Teen Challenge today. Thank you, Lord, that you are still in the business of setting people free. And we pray that you would continue to go before these men who have given their testimonies today and help them. We pray that you would be with them as they leave the program. Go before them. Counsel them with your eye upon them, we pray. And Lord, we just want to thank you for every person who is here today. And we pray your blessing on their families, on each one we commit to you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. God bless you.